Johnny looked around, slapping his pockets nervously. We gotta get out of here. Get somewhere. Run away. The police'll be here soon. I was trembling, and it wasn't all from the cold. But Johnny, except for the fact that his hands were twitching, looked as cool as Darry ever had. We'll need money, and maybe a gun, and a plan. Money, maybe a gun, a plan. Where in the world would we get these things? Dally, Johnny said with finality. Dally'll get us out of here. I heaved a sigh. Why hadn't I thought of that? But I never thought of anything. Dallas Winston could do anything. Where can we find him? I think at Buck Merrill's place. There's a party over there tonight. Dally said something about it this afternoon. Buck Merrill was Dally's rodeo partner. He was the one who'd got Dally the job as a jockey for the Slash J. Buck raced a few quarter horses and made most of his money on fixed races and a little bootlegging. I was under strict orders from both Darry and Soda not to get caught within 10 miles of his place, which was dandy with me. I didn't like Buck Merrill. He was a tall, lanky cowboy with blonde hair and buck teeth. Or he used to be buck-toothed before he had the front two knocked out in a fight. He was out of it. He dug Hank Williams. How gross can you get? Buck answered the door when we knocked, and a roar of cheap music came with him. The clinking of glasses, loud, rough laughter and female giggles, and Hank Williams. It scraped on my raw nerves like sandpaper. A can of beer in one hand, Buck glared down at us. What do you want?
Dally, Johnny gulped, looking back over his shoulder. We gotta see Dally.
He's busy,
Buck snapped. And someone in his living room yelled, ah-ha-ha, and then yee-haw, and the sound of it almost made my nerves snap. Tell him it's Pony and Johnny, I commanded. I knew Buck, and the only way you could get anything from him was to bully him. I guess that's why Dallas could handle him so easily, although Buck was in his mid-20s and Dally was 17. He'll come. Buck glared at me for a second, then stumbled off. He was pretty well crocked, which made me apprehensive. If Dally was drunk and in a dangerous mood, he appeared in a few minutes, clad only in a pair of low-cut blue jeans, scratching the hair on his chest. He was sober enough, and that surprised me. Maybe he hadn't been there long.
Okay, kids, what do you need me for?
As Johnny told him the story, I studied Dally, trying to figure out what there was about this tough-looking hood that a girl like Cherry Valance could love. Tow-headed and shifty-eyed, Dally was anything but handsome. Yet in his hard face there was character, pride, and a savage defiance of the world. He could never love Cherry Valance back. It would be a miracle if Dally loved anything. The fight for self-preservation had hardened him beyond caring. He didn't bat an eye when Johnny told him what had happened, only grinned and said, "Good for you," when Johnny told him how he had knifed the Soch. Finally, Johnny finished. "We figured you could get us out if anyone could. I'm sorry we got you away from the party."
"Aw, shoot, kid." Dally glanced contemptuously over his shoulder. "I was in the bedroom."
He suddenly stared at me.
"Glory, but your ears can get red, Pony Boy."
I was remembering what usually went on in the bedrooms at Buck's parties. Then Dally grinned in amused realization.
"It wasn't anything like that, kid. I was asleep or trying to be with all this racket."
Hank Williams. He rolled his eyes and added a few adjectives after Hank Williams.
"Me and Shepard had a run-in and I cracked some ribs. I just needed a place to lay over."
He rubbed his side ruefully.
"Old Tim sure can pack a punch. He won't be able to see out of one eye for a week."
He looked us over and sighed.
"Well, wait a sec and I'll see what I can do about this mess."
Then he took a good look at me.
"Pony Boy, are you wet?"
Yes, I stammered through chattering teeth.
"Glory, hallelujah."
He opened the screen door and pulled me in, motioning for Johnny to follow.
"You'll die of pneumonia before the cops ever get you."
He half dragged me into an empty bedroom, swearing at me all the way.
Get that sweatshirt off.
He threw a towel at me.
Dry off and wait here. At least Johnny's got his jeans jacket. You ought to know better than to run away in just a sweatshirt and a wet one at that. Don't you ever use your head.
He sounded so much like Darry that I stared at him. He didn't notice and left us sitting on the bed. Johnny lay back on it. Wish I had me a weed. My knees were shaking as I finished drying off, sitting there in my jeans. Dally appeared after a minute. He carefully shut the door. Here. He handed us a gun and a roll of bills.
The gun's loaded. For Pete's sakes, Johnny, don't point the thing at me. Now here's $50. That's all I could get out of Merrill tonight. He's blowing his loot from that last race.
You might have thought it was Dally who fixed those races for Buck, being a jockey and all, but it wasn't. The last guy to suggest it lost 3 teeth. It's the truth. Dally rode the ponies honestly and did his best to win. It was the only thing Dally did honestly.
Pony, did Darry and Soda Pop know about this?
I shook my head. Dally sighed.
Boy, howdy. I ain't itching to be the one to tell Darry and get my head busted.
Then don't tell him, I said. I hated to worry Soda Pop and would have liked to let him know I had gotten this far okay. But I didn't care if Darry worried himself gray-headed. I was too tired to tell myself I was being mean and unreasonable. I convinced myself it wouldn't be fair to make Dally tell him. Darry would beat him to death for giving us money and the gun and getting us out of town.
Here.
Dally handed me a shirt about 60 million sizes too big.
It's Buck's. You and him ain't exactly the same size, but it's dry.
He handed me his worn brown leather jacket with the yellow sheep's wool lining.
It'll get cold where you're going, but you can't risk being loaded down with blankets.
I started buttoning up the shirt. It about swallowed me.
Hop the 3:15 freight to Windricksville,
Dally instructed. There's an old abandoned church on top of Jay Mountain. There's a pump in back, so don't worry about water.
Buy a week's supply of food as soon as you get there, this morning, before the story gets out, and then don't so much as stick your noses out the door. I'll be up there as soon as I think it's clear. Man, I thought New York was the only place I could get mixed up in a murder rap.
At the word murder, Johnny made a small noise in his throat and shuddered. Dally walked us back to the door, turning off the porch light before we stepped out.
Get going.
He messed up Johnny's hair. Take care, kid, he said softly. Sure, Dally. Thanks. And we ran into the dark.